Okay, we're starting on Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph by the two dots. It's nine. It's quoting from our Mishnah that we saw at the end of yesterday's daf. Ganav al pi shnayim v'tavach u'machar al pihem. Person steals based on the testimony of these two edim, and these same two edim also testified to the fact that it was either tavach u'mocher v'nimtzu zomemim. And then these edim are found to be zomemim mishalmim et hakol. These edim paid the entire amount because they were trying or attempting to be mechayev him four or five times, and therefore they're responsible to pay that four or five times when they're found to be edim zomemim. My love, what's the case? She'idu ala kneva v'chazru ve'idu ala tvicha. These same edim gave testimony twice. They gave once they testified once to the fact that he stole the item, and then they testified in a second instance that he actually was toveach, that he shechted the animal. Vehuzmu, and then they were found to be edim zomim. How are they found to be edim zomim? Uzma gneva, vechazru uzma latvicha. First, they were found to be edim zomim on the aspect of their testimony, which was about the gneva, about the stealing. Someone said about them, imanu ayitem, when it came to the gneva. Vechazru uzma latvicha, and then afterwards, the edim then were mazim them in a separate instance on the tvicha, on the part that they testified that the ganav had shechted the animal. They even testified about that testimony as well, that the manu hayitem.
The mafreihu nifsal. So we saw this was the machlokas in Eid Zomim, that Abayi says that the mafreihu nifsal, that retroactively they become psulim from the time that they testified, whereas Rava believes mikan ulahava. So now you run into a problem. Right, honey, came in the zamul uagneva. As soon as they become edim zomimim on the gneva, igle milsulim afreya, dikasadu atzvicha psulim havu. Then if you say the mafreya they were psulim from the moment they testified about the gneva, that preceded their testimony on the tzvicha. That means when they testified about the shechting of the animal, they already were psulim, or irrelevant. Tamai mishalmim atzvicha. So then why should they pay anything more than kefil? Meaning that they, when they testified about the gneva, that's what they're found to be zomimim about. When they're found to be zomimim about the gneva, then they pay kefil, they'll pay two times. But when it comes to the four or five times, they're paying the addition of two or three times beyond the kefil, that they should not be chayav for, because that all transpired after they were found to be psulim. And that should be irrelevant to the case now. No, the case is going to huzma. But no, here we assume that the case was they testified about the gneva, then they testified about the tvicha, and then on the hazama side we said, oh, they were nizam al the gneva first, and then the tvicha. No, say the other way around. They became in zomimim the gat the tvicha, and only afterwards did they become zomimim the gave agneva. So the psul, right, when they were made in zomimim about the tvicha, they were not yet psulim. It says, wait, why should the order make any difference? Imri, so, Gihadri Mitzame Agneva. Later on, after we find out that they're also Zomimim on the Gneva, Igle Milso, because Zadot Vicha Psulim Abu. Just because, fine, so they were made Zomimim on the Tvicha first, but then when we find out the real information, which is that they're also Zomimim on the Gneva, the whole Tvicha case again becomes irrelevant, because they are Psulim from the moment they were, the Gneva took place, or the testimony of the Gneva took place. And then the tvicha becomes, again, irrelevant, or that they were gave that testimony already when they were psulim. Hi, mishalmei tvicha. Again, what's the case in which they pay on tvicha? So v'hilchasa, an interesting term that the Gemara uses here is v'hilchasa, she'idu bevat achat v'huzmu. They actually testified at once on both issues, and then they were made into zomimim. That the edim did not have, until this point, we've assumed that there were two separate testimonies. One testimony in regards to the stealing, and a separate testimony with regards to the tzvicha. So the Gemara's conclusion is that it's she'idu b'vat achat, that they did it simultaneously, meaning that they gave their testimony with regards to the gnevan and the tzvicha in one shot. So then when you go back and you're mazing them, and the right, sure, lemafreya, they're you go back to their testimony. But what that testimony was the testimony of the gnevan and the tzvicha. So once they're mazing them on both of those items, they are chayav on the hakol. Because there's nothing, it's not that the tzvicha came subsequent to their becoming psulim, it became simultaneous. They gave that testimony about gneva and tzvicha simultaneously. because it was done simultaneously. It's all a single package now. If it's a single package, then we make them into Eidim Zomimim, and we make them Eidim Zomimim on the entire package, and they're going to be Chayav, Dalet, Behei. The only thing I could say, the Lashon, the strange Lashon, is the term, the Gemara uses the term Hilchasa. Usually the Gemara uses Hakob Mayaskinan, or they'll use some other term of explanation, or expansion on what was said before. The term here, Hilchasa, I don't know if it's referencing back, because the Lach is like a Baye, and this question is on a Baye Shita, so every Gemara goes into the Hilchasa. It's interesting Lashon, the Gemara uses the Hilchasa over here. There is a Rashi, the other brings down a Girsa that it's Behuzmu Bavat Achat. They also became made, they were also made into Eidim Zomimim in one shot. Right? So Rashi says you don't need that. It's not necessary over here. Tosus discusses the fact that according to Abaye it is necessary because we're going to see Abaye's opinion later on with regards to being Mukbash. But I'm not, without dealing with the technicalities of it, Tosus points over here, it's a very interesting line in the Tosus, are just the last line on Tosus on this Amud. He says, Abaderaka Gemarahu, Shein Choshish Lutareit Alekushish Shemakshelo. This says that the Gemara, in many instances, and this is a funny thing because this is what Tosus does throughout Shas, is deal with the fact that, like what Rashi does. Rashi only deals with that which is on the locus, right? That which is on the daf, right? And that which is in front of you. Doesn't try to reconcile with other Gemaras. And that's what Tosus says here. The Gemara deals with the issue at hand. There's a question in the Gemara. The Gemara answers that, And then, when it answers that question, it might leave over other questions that would be relevant or answers that are necessary to deal with the Shita in its entirety. And again, in an Amud from now or that from now, they're going to do that anyway. But they don't do that. And the Gemara just says, well, we have a question, and we answer that question. And then somewhere else we'll have a question, and we answer the question. Now, if you put those two pieces together, you realize that you need both of them together to create a full picture. Says that the Gemara does that many times. We know that that's what Tosus does all over Shas. He says, oh, wait, the Gemara said this other places, or the Gemara said this, and then he says, oh, how do we put these two together? Just an interesting, line in Tosus. So now the Gemara says, Leibach tonight. Let's see this position of whether you need Batachat or not, or is relevant. Batachat is a Machloket Tanayim. Why?
Which by definition will also mean that the Machlokas Tanayim deals with Machlokas Bayin Rava, whether Eidim Zomim are Psulim the Mafreya or Psulim Mikan Haba. Because if you hold a Bavat Achat, or you can come to this answer of Bavat Achat, then you can hold that Eidim Zomim are Psulim the Mafreya. If you don't have the answer of Bavat Achat, then you need to say or you need to hold that Eidim Zomim are only Psulim Mikan Ula Haba.
If two Eidim that he stole, v'hein meidino tosha tava, and they also testify that he was tovea. V'huz mala gneva, then they were made into Eidim Zomimim on the gneva. Eidim shepetla miktata batakula. Any Eidut, that part of it is ruined, right? The entire thing goes. Huz mala tvika, on the other hand, if they were made meidimim on the tvika, hu mishalem tashlume kefel, then the gneva side still stands. So he'll pay kefel for the gneva part. Again, the Gemara uses shlosha, but the truth is it would be shnayim or shlosha, two or three times. When you say four or five times is really a combination of kefel plus the additional two or three times that makes it into the four or five. So they'll pay the kefel, and they'll pay for the tashlume shnayim or shlosha. They'll pay the additional amount, because they were caught to be mezimim on the tzvicha part. On the gneva part, their testimony still stands. Samar of Yosef. Yosef says, when do we say this is true? Bishtei Eidiyot. That is when we're talking about two different sets of Eidim over here. Aval Eidut Achat. They have one set of Eidim, Eidut Shabbatah Miksata Bala Kula. And once you ruin the part of the Eidut, then the entire Eidut falls. Samar says, my Bishtei Eidiyot. What does it mean? I mean, I went ahead and translated it, but that's not right, necessarily true. But what does it mean? Two Eidiyot and one Eidut. What does it mean, two and one? Two and one of what? Does it mean two separate sets of Eidim? Or does it mean even one set of Eidim that are did it in two times? So Gemara says, my shtei be'ediyot, my be'edut achat. What does one Eidut mean? Ilema b'shtei ediyot mamash. When it says two Eidiyot, it means literally two separate sets of Eidim that come b'shtei kidot. And we're talking about two totally independent sets of Eidim that come. And be'edut achat, so what does be'edut achat mean? Talk about one set of Eidim that testify two different times. They come and testify once that there was a Gneva, and then they come again and testify that it's Tzvicha. So even that there are two different times, it's one set of Eidim. Is that the way to explain it? So it says, and if that's the case, Rabbi Yosi, Be'edut Akat, Be'kat Akat B'zech Hazer, Ki Mitzadei Agneva, V'hadar Mitzadei Atvicha, Ki Mitzami Atvicha, Eidu Shabbat L'Mikzata, Bat L'Kula, Mitzami L'Hu Agneva, Hei Chatei Tiach. Umar says, all right, based on this conclusion, what are you going to say? You're going to say that if you have one set of Eidim that testified first on Gneva, and then at a later time testified about the Tvicha, and then they were made Meizimim. They were Eidim's only with regard to the Tvicha. So now Rabbi Yossi is going to say, Eidu Shibbat Lamikzata, Bat Lakula. That means that because they were made into Meizimim on the Tvicha, that means they're automatically Meizimim, or Nizam, al the Gneva. Or it says, Mehete Tvicha. Where do you ever come up? How do you know that? Or why does that work? What type of logical argument that is that if you have two separate testimonies, why should the, if the latter testimony is found to be invalid, why should that affect the earlier testimony? In the reverse, that we can explain. If they were made to be mezimim on the gneva, and then we say about the tvicha, fine, because then it's matreya. They're psulim before they ever testified about the tvicha. But that's not the case here. The case here is that the tvicha is subsequent to the gneva. So if they're made psulim to the tvicha, it has no reference or bearing on the gneva aspects. So that can't be the explanation of a rab. What's the case here? B'shnei ediyot, be'edut echad, k'ein shnei ediyot. When we're talking about shnei ediyot, it really means one set of edim that look like two edim. U'mayinu, kadachad b'zech razeh. That's one set of edim that testifies in two separate moments. About be'edut echad, b'vat echad lo. But when it comes to one set of edim that testifies in one shot, right, then not. So based on this, what would be their opinions? So this is the opinions here. That Rabbi Yossi believes that the only time that we say that you can separate between the Gneva and the Tvicha is when the Gneva and Tvicha were made in two separate testimonies. One set of Eidim made in two separate testimonies. So when they're found to be Mizimim, or they're Nizom, on the Tvicha part of it, the Gneva part still stands. Right. So he'll pay Kefa on the Gneva, the Ganav, and the Eidim will pay the two or three times to make up to the Arba Vekamisha. On the other hand, if it's one set of Eidim, and they testify in one shot about the Gneva and the Tzvicha, when you ruin the Tzvicha part of it, then you've also ruined the Gneva part of it, because it's one gush, it's one total testimony. And if you ruin a part of the testimony, then you ruin the entire testimony. In that case, they'll be chayah for the Da'ab B'chamisha, and the Gneva will be off the hook entirely, because they didn't do anything. Although they'll probably be patur also, because when you have to be mezi meidut, you have to be mezi them on the entire edut, right? Not just on a portion of the edut. So now the Gemara says, all right, let's explain this. V'sabruah. Everybody holds the kuli arma tov k'dei dibur k'dibur dami. And when you give testimony within tov k'dei dibur, it's considered to be a single entity. Therefore, when they testify at the Gneva, and immediately afterwards they testify about the Tvicha, that's one Eidus. It's not two separate Eidiot. So my love, Hakam Ifugay. So what is the argument? What's the point of contention between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi? The Rabbanan Tzavrei Mekana Lahaban Nifsal. That you only prospectively become, right, Pasul, when you are Zomamim. We came into Mahai Shata Kamizame, Atvicha, the Kamizame Itzum, Haganevet Lo Mizame Lo Itzum. Since you become only prospectively become Eidim Zomamim, that means at the moment that the third set of Eidim come and testify against these Eidim, and say that Imanu Ayitem Boto Ayom, only from that moment forward are they Psulim. It does not affect their original testimony. Their original testimony stays in place. So now, all the Eidim Zomamim did was eliminate the Tvicha aspect of the original testimony. But the Gneva aspect of their testimony will stand. So according to Chachamim, even in the case where it's Zachar or Bavad Akat, we still say the Gneva aspect stands, and the Ganav will be Chayav Kefel, and the Edim Zomimim will be Chayav two or three times. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi, Sofer L'Machreo Nifsal, Rabbi Yossi says, what? No, it's retroactive that he is Nifsal. Why is the retro? So once it's retroactive, that it's nifsal not from the moment the Eidim Zomim show up, but rather it affects their original testimony. When they testify, it came into miyad, yasidu hu to mifsalei, right, that the moment they testified, they became psulim, because they testified falsely. Then, ki zamalu atvikha, yzamalu nami agneva. Right, then once they became invalid with regard to the vikha, they also became invalid with the gneva, because the hato kadei dibur kadibur dami. Because we've said that when it's within Tofa Dei Dibur, it's considered to be a single Eidut, not two Eidiot. And when you ruin a part of the Eidut, then the whole Eidut falls. So when you ruin the Tvicha part of it, you also ruin the Neva aspect of it. Where it says, Imre, Ito, Kadei, Dibur, Kadibu, Dami. Right, so, Inochanami, you're right. That is, if you think, So Kadei, Dibur, Kadibu, Dami. But why don't we say, the Kuliyam, the Makreya, who needs that? Everybody holds like a bayit. But the Makreya, who needs that? That everything is retroactive. No, the makhlok between the Chachamim or the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi relies on this fact of whether Tov Kadei Dibur is Kedibur Dami. The Chachamim believe that Tov Kadei Dibur is, what? Tov Kadei Dibur is Lav Kedibur Dami. Why? So therefore, when you invalidate the Tavicha, it doesn't mean that you impact the Gneva aspect. Just because they were subsequent to each other, just because they were in Tov Kadei Dibur, doesn't make them into a single Eidut. They're actually two idiot. So if you invalidate the Tvicha, that's all you've been validated, you haven't affected the Gneva. Right? So then the Rabbanan Sarve Tov Kadei Dibur Lav Kedei Dibur Dami. Whereas Rabbi Yossi Savar Tov Kadei Dibur Kedibur Dami. Rabbi Yossi is going to think, no, that when you do something within a Tov Kadei Dibur, that's going to become a single entity or a single Eidut. And if you invalidate the Tvicha, you also invalidate the Gneva. Very good. So Mer says, the Sabah Rabbi Yossi Tov Kadei Dibur Kedibur Dami? Does Rabbi Yossi really hold that? Now that you're establishing the Machos have to do with Tov Kadei Dibur, does Rabbi Yossi really hold of this position that Tov Kadei Dibur is Kedibur Dami?
That's not. What's the advantage of bringing this Hukimta?
Because Allah is like a bayit. So the Gemara, it was said before, the Allah is like a bayit.
Yeah, but we also say that the Allah is,
we're going to see that it's not so clear. That's what's going to happen here. That it's not so clear what Tov Kadei Dibur means and when the Lach of Tov Kadei Dibur. That's why the Gemara one knows, wants to clearly establish that it's like a Baye. And so they establish more like a Baye. And then you say, oh, wait, the Lach of Tov Kadei Dibur is Kadibur Dami. We're going to see in a second that there are nuances in Tov Kadei Dibur. And then maybe that explains the Machlokas over here. That's none. How do we know that the Rav Yossi really hold of Tov Kadei Dibur Kadibur Dami? Rizut Murat Ulat Murat Shlamim. Person goes ahead and says that this animal is he wants to take, right, this animal and exchange what he has on a shlamim and an olah and exchange it onto this animal. So he says this animal is in place of an olah and in place of a shlamim in one shot. Harizut murat olah divi Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that the first statement is relevant, the second statement is not. Rabbi Meir believes kavos lashon rishon. The first thing that you say is topes, and whatever you tried to say after that was trying to reverse your first statement, and you can't do that. As soon as you said your first statement that this is shmurat olah, that takes effect. And when you said shmurat shlamim, you were trying to reverse your first statement, you can't do that. Because once it became a shmurat olah, you can't make it into a shmurat shlamim, everything's gone. Yossi Omer, no. In the kachnit kavneim mitzchilah, if that was his intent, ho v'yek sharli quote shnei shemot ke'achad, it's impossible. If you really wanted to say that this is both a shmurat olah and shlamim, how do you formulate that? There's no way to formulate that as one word. You have to be able to say it in two, right? You have to be able to say it together. So if he says, Tumurat Olah, Tumurat Shlamim, that is a single phrase or a single statement. If it's a single statement, then he makes it into both. So it's Varav Kayrim. Biyam Amar, Tumurat Olah. But on the other hand, if he says it's Tumurat Olah, Bin Nimlach, and then he regrets it and says, Tumurat Shlamim, it's really Tumurat Shlamim, Harizu Tumurat Olah. Then it's really an exchange for an Ola. Why? Because he can't reverse his position. That's, as Rabbi Meir points out. Rabbi Meir says the reason in Kavos Lashon Rishon is because he's really trying to reverse his position. So the first thing he says goes, and then everything else is considered to be a reversal, and we don't allow it. This says no, that you can have a total package. A person can't make a single statement. So therefore, if he's mitzkaving to say both of these in a single statement, we say good. But if he reverses himself, if he's saying that I'm regretting what I said, then in Okanami, the Lokka is like Rabbi Meir. Babinim ba nimla shita. Where it says, what they finish in Rabbi Yossi. Of course, if he regrets what he said, it doesn't change it. You can't change that which is Kodesh. So I'm Rav Papa, and the Rav Papa says, I can explain to you, nimlach b'tov kadei dibur kamrinan. We're saying that he reversed his position within a tov kadei dibur. So when he reversed his position within a Tov Kadei Dibur, if you believe that Tov Kadei Dibur is Kedibur Dami, then it would be suggesting that what? That it's a single statement. So then Rabbi Yossi comes on, teach you, it doesn't matter. Even though it looks like a single statement, nevertheless it is not a single statement. Right? Why is it not a single statement? Because you were trying to reverse your position. But that indicates that Rabbi Yossi believes that Tov Kadei Dibur is not Kedibur Dami. So Yomar says, Imre, wait a minute. Imre, let's suggest here that there are Trey Kadosh Dibur. There are two different types of Tov Kadosh Dibur. What is that? Chad Kadosh Shelat Talmid Rav. One is the student saying, greeting his Rebbe. The Chad Kadosh Shelat the Rav the Talmid. And the other one is the Rav greeting the Talmid. So, Ki Lake Le the Rabbi Yossi Kadosh Shelat Talmid the Rav. Right, so when does Rabbi Yossi Tov Kadosh Dibur or Lav Kadosh Dibur Talmid? That has to do with when the Talmud is speaking to the Rebbe. What is that? What does he say to him? He says, Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori. Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori is the Tov Kadosh Dibur that Rabbi Yossi says is Lav Kadosh Dibur Talmid. Again, the Gemara in different places, whether it has to be Shalom Alecha Rebbe or Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori, and that additional word of Morish in some places shows up, some places it does not show up. Right? The Nafish. But that, because that's a longer statement. Whether it's Kadosh Shelat Rabbi Talmid, how does a Rebbe greet his Talmid? Shalom Alecha, right? That, just Shalom Alecha is it like, that he has. So the difference when it comes to Tov Kadosh Dibur is Kadibur Domi, that's what we call Tov Kadosh Dibur Katan, when he says Shalom Alecha. But when it says Tov Kadosh Dibur Lav Kadibur Domi, that's when it's Tov Kadosh Dibur Katan. It says Shalom Alecha, Rebbe Umori. The addition of those two words makes it not Tov Kadosh Dibur. So the difference between, In Rav Yossi will have a nuance in Tov Kadosh Dibur, depending on how long your Tov Kadosh Dibur is, how long it is. Tosus discusses a number of issues over here. That according to the, it seems to the Maskana of the Gemara over here, that when you use a Tov Kadosh Dibur Gadol, when you say Shalom Alecha Rebbe Omari, that it's irrelevant if you explain yourself. Meaning that even if you say, I want it to be one unit, and it becomes irrelevant at that point. And when it's Tov Kadosh Dibur Katan, when it's in a small space, then we allow you to explain yourself, even though it wasn't so clear from what you said, that it was one unit. But if you explain that that is what I meant to be one unit, then that allows you. But whether it's a Tov Kadosh Dibur Gadol, when it's that Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori, even if I said I really meant it to be one statement, right, it doesn't help you anymore because that's considered to be a big gap. That's one thing the Tosafot discusses. The other, the other thing Tosafot discusses is that a Gemara in Brachot says that a notin shalom by machzir shalom the rabbo, person who gives shalom or responds to shalom to his rebbe is going to shekinah shistalik miyisrael. As the shekinah to leave Israel. So wait, over here, this whole premise of Tov Kadosh Dibur is based on the fact that you're allowed to say shalom to your Rebbe.
What's the reason?
Tosafot differentiates over there. He says that over there, it's only if you say Shalom Aleichem to your Rebbe like you were talking to your friend. Say Shalom Aleichem to your Rebbe, that would be irreverent. It would be inappropriate, and that's Gorim the Shekhinah Shistalik Misrael, because you're treating your Rebbe like your friend. But if you speak to your Rebbe like your Rebbe, Shalom Aleichem Rebbe Omori, and you would address him with the proper kavod, that is okay, or that's appropriate, right, to speak to your Rebbe or to greet your Rebbe in that way. The last thing Tosafot discusses over here, which is very important, is, right, that it says Tema, right, that who's the Pesach Halacha like over here? Right, we have a position. He says Tema, look at Tosafot, it's in the wide lines, in Tosafot, the first line there. He says Tema, the Rav Acha Mitifti. Dabar per kama de makol to perk shvut eidut, tov kadei dibur, kadei ele shalat tamid the rab, kama. He holds that kadei shalat tamid the rab, tov kadei dibur is kadibur dami. Who is he? Who does he hold like? Right, so if it's the Rabbanon, let lahu klal kadei dibur. Right, we just established over here that the Rabbanon don't hold, right, of tov kadei dibur is lav kadibur dami at all. They don't even hold of tov kadei dibur. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi, who does hold of tov kadei dibur, only holds Tov Kadosh Dibur when it is a Dibur Katan. What's a Dibur Katan? Shalom Alecha. Not Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori. Right? So Tavid Rav, Moses Lav Dibur Katami. So he says, Ishlam at the Summer Lucky Brysa. There's another Brysa that says that, and he finds a Brysa that supports him, another Tana that can support Rav Acha Mitifti. It says that Tov Kadosh Dibur is Kadibur Dami. And then he says, it goes on to say that we pass an Alecha that way. We pass an Alecha, and it should be Shalom Alecha Rebbe, or Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori. And that is what qualifies as Tov Kadosh Dibur. The question is why? What's the whole approach here? What is the idea that Shalom Alecha Rebbe should not be considered, or Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori should not be considered a hefsek of sorts? So Rabbeinu Tam explains over here, Tosafot brings his Rabbeinu Tam, that he says, Vishira, Kadeshala Shalom Tamid Rama Prashra Vadam, Tainu Taimak Shadam may eat idut o sik bemeka humemkar. Person is giving testimony, or he's in a business transaction. Vikhaveru notain lo shalom o rabo. His Rebbe or his friend greet him. Right? So we have to kain yeshlo hashiv la sik. It's only appropriate that he takes the moment to respond to that person who came by and said, Shalom Aleichem. Kadamar b'brachot, right? Kadamar b'brachot says explicitly, and shalom ha'chareo in ma'kazir, and he cried that line. Person who greets you and gives you shalom, and you do not respond in kind, you're considered a thief. Right? Shamar, gzilat ani b'batechim, l'chein, takinu chachamim, shalei yazeh chashub hefsek. Chachamim were mitakin that that will not be classified as a hefsek, so that you can respond appropriately.
Great
so in the
work.
Context of right in the context,
doing work won't be living in the shop because land towards your
employer, right? That seems right. Well, so for all these cases where you involve monetary matters, right, your exception to go and you have an exception, you have a dispensation to respond to the greeting of your Rebbe. So you can always respond, Shalom Aleichem, Rebbe Yomomi, and that dispensation says that whatever you said beforehand and said afterwards are still connected. And it is not, that's not a half-sake, that doesn't stop the Indian that you've been involved with, but allows you to continue what you're doing. Now, there is one issue. There are a couple of times that the Rebbeinu Tam's shot only works when we're talking about Tokhtei Dibor, where it's been used in the context of a speaking engagement, in that it has to do with you giving edut, and then you interrupt to speak to your Rebbe. Or you are in a business transaction, you interrupt. But the Gemara uses Tokhtei Dibor, for instance, the Gemara in Nedarim has to do with Kriya, tearing Kriya. If you're tearing Kriya, right, then we say Tokhtei Dibor is Kedibor Dami. If you tear Kriya within Tokhtei Dibor of the mace dying, that's classified as the Kriya for the mace. Over there's no issue of speaking that you have to interrupt. So how do you explain the Rabbeinu Tam's, right, shot over there? It's also zero, where it says, Shema, in your Kriya Hekilu. Maybe the Chamim were Mekil, since the Abana, they were Mekil over here. This is the Pshat of Rabbeinu Tam. The Ran, we looked this Ran together in Nidorim. Ran in Nidorim, Zachdei Zayin Amun Aleph, quotes the Rabbeinu Tam and says, Lo Nirali. So the Rabbeinu Tam doesn't make sense. He says, how could the Rabbanon come, Bikum, Vaseh, and be Opir, something Nidoraisa? That means that Minatorah, when you break up your Edut to reach your Rebbe, that technically, that would make it into two Ediot. It really would split your Edut. But the fact that you've interrupted your Edut, and you have Hefsek.
Who determines what's considered Hefsek?
Alright, so that's why it comes along and says, Kinu Chachamim. The Chachamim came and made a Tatana.
I mean, that's not true, but the Chachamim gave them the power. It's just determining what the...
Right, but they weren't empowered. Right, here it doesn't sound, the Rabbeinu doesn't sound like they're empowered. So it says the Chachamim gave you a dispensation that allows you to speak to your Rebbe, even though that technically would be a Hefsek. That's what the Ran says. You could argue.
Yeah, well, what's the marker that says that's a Hefsek?
Okay, so that's what you're arguing, which is whether Rabbeinu Tam could respond to the Ran and say that Nitan, like Cholamoe, that Nitan Shulah Chachamim to determine what is a hefsek, and this is what they were determining over here. But it's not what it sounds like. To be honest with you, the Rabbeinu Tam does not sound like that, because he said Takana, that they instituted a Takana that allowed your Eden dispensation, as opposed to say this, they defined what a hefsek is. I mean, it seems like it's a Kofesh Takana. And the Ran.
So what the Ran said in the Dereza, then what's a hefsek from the Ran?
Voluntary
hesitation, like what's
the hesitation? Alright, so the Ran says that it's not a Takana. I mean, that's exactly what the Ran says. The Ran says that Tokhtei Dibor, Kedibor Dami, right, is a determination.
Is a determination of what Gemara Tadat is. The Gemara in Nedarim on Pezayin Amud Aleph says that Tokhtei, the halacha is Tokhtei Dibor, Kedibor Dami, Chutz. They're exceptional cases. The exceptional cases are Megadef, Ovid Avodat Kachavim, Umikadesh, Umigaresh. Those are the four exceptional cases where Tokhtei Dibor, Kedibor Dami does not apply, and we do not say, we do not connect or allow you to reverse your position within Tokhtei Dibor. So the Ran says, what does this all mean? What does this exactly have to do with? Why are these four exceptions other than others? So he says, V'lo yadana maishnehani. He says, first of all, what are different about these? Where did the Rabbanan come up with this differentiation of these four cases? This is what the Ran says. In other instances where stuff is not so chamur, then when a person does them, lo gamar b'da'ato hu ose, right, that he doesn't close in his mind, he doesn't have finality to his action. Person naturally has a mind that he will think, or if he realizes suddenly that he made a mistake, that he can reverse himself within that position. Avalhani, these four instances that the Gemara mentions came into Chamire Kulehai. Since they're so stringent, since they are such important issues, when a person does this, he's well thought out, it's been predetermined, premeditated, he knows exactly what he's going to do, and when he does it, that is gemidirat dat. And therefore, when you do a reversal in any of these items, it's not meaningful, it has no bearing, because you had gemirat dat. So the Ran says that toch de dibur is really a function of human nature. Toch de dibur is that naturally people, when they speak, or when they do, or they engage, they leave themselves a window of opportunity to reverse themselves or to change their mind. That's only true when we're talking about normal daily activities, normal items. But when it comes to things that are very chamur, very severe, things that are actions that have tremendous impact, then on those we say no, a person is premeditated, a person thinks out these types of actions, and when he does them, he has gemirat hadat. And when he has gemirat hadat, we don't allow him, we say that he doesn't have that natural, doesn't leave himself that natural window of opportunity to reverse himself. And that would be the case by Megadef, or by Avodah Zarah, or by Kiddushin, or by Kirushin. So opposed to the Rabbeinu Tam, who thinks it was a Takanas Chachamim, the Ran thinks it's a natural part of Gemiras Adat. And that's why one is permitted to reverse themselves within Tochadei Dibur, because it's as if it's an implicit Tanai in everything that a person does. I mean, the last possibility is something along the lines of what Shaul is suggesting over here, is that Tochadei Dibur is just a definition that the Chachamim are using. Meaning that, what is Hefsek? So the Torah doesn't tell us what a Hefsek is. The Chachamim told us that Tochadei Dibur is a Hefsek. The only question then you'll have is, why is Tochadei Dibur the lashon, or the amount, or the measurement that's used to create or to determine what a Hefsek is? Because not all cases are Dibur where Tochadei Dibur comes up. There are cases like Kriya and the tearing in the Gemara Nedarim, which don't necessarily refer to that. And nevertheless, we use Tochadei Dibur. And that might be what part of what the Rabbeinu Tam was coming along to try to deal with.
We come up with the fact that you can't say that the Machlokes Abaye and the Rava is the Machlokes of Yosef Rabban. Because for me, the Rabban actually holding like Abaye.
Right.
So, we're back to square one, and it's Machlokes Amoraim. That's essentially what we're
trying. Right. It's not a time, right? It's not Machlokes Tanaim, right? It's rather, it's just a, they all hold an Abaye, and their Machlokes is about right? Or at least we could explain it that way.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to, but the fact that you could makes it, right? Then you can't force.
You can't box it into a
right, exactly. So Rava said that Edim that first were disqualified because they were Kushu, meaning we have Edim that come and testify the opposite of them in factual basis. Not establishing anything about they're contradicted these Edim, but they did not disqualify them because they unwaited them. But afterwards they were made into Edomim, they are Ragim. They're killed. Why? So Rav has a principle, the halachah of tefillat hazamah, that when you use contradiction at the beginning of the process of hazamah, it was nigmara, just didn't get finished. You know, we said, of course, if they really are even zomim, and even if they don't eat them, then it's very likely that there will also be halachah, contradiction, because whatever they're saying is not true. Because if Imano eat them, they're probably testifying falsely also, because they were not there. And the fact that someone contradicts them is not a big surprise. So the halachah is Tchilat, what we call it, Tchilat Hazama.
Hazama is Tchilat HaKhashah.
I understand where you're coming from, but the fact is that by Hazama it's conclusive. HaKhashah is not conclusive. And that's what they were saying. Tchilat HaKhashah is Tchilat Hazama is because HaKhashah has no impact on the Edim themselves. It has impact on the case, but not the Edim. Hazama impacts the Edim and the case, meaning that it has both. It has impact on both.
So what does Hazama work about?
You might have made them. It's exactly as we said. Chidushu, that was Rav's opinion. Chidushu, and it's a chidush, we can't extend to Lamafre, it would only be like Kana Lava. Exactly, that is. It's a chidush of the Gemara. The Gemara says that. Lama, why do we believe Trey? You have a Trey. Right, that's what Gemara says. Hey, no, Hanami. It really is all HaKhashah in a sense. We say we were there. And you say we weren't there. So really, they're contradicting each other. But there, in that instance, the Torah empowered the second set of Edims, right? The letter Edim to say that they Imanu Edim and they're believing. Right? Now, again, the Hazama is a very narrow case, Kedalia. It's not just an expansive, all-inclusive case. It has to be only after Gemara Din. It has to be after the Pesach HaLapa, but before the punishment is meted out. is in that narrow frame or narrow frame of time between the time that the Pesach Halacha actually happened, because it's kasher zamam, like they planned to do, but lo kasher asah, not like they actually accomplished. I mean, except the Tosfos has that opinion, but Mamona knows that even kasher asah, right, is still kasher zamam, right, and we saw that for different reasons, but either way, it's not just any time they come and say, Yimanu eat them, it's in that narrow window. So also over here, by the way, that when Rava makes the statement, Rashi makes the point, that the case is that they were nigmar the din, then after the nigmar din, two other eidim come and then are machish them. Because if they could have been, if they were already mukhash before the din was nigmar, it could have been, but there would be no gmar din. You could never have gotten to the point of gmar din to get to azama. So the only way you can get to azama and have a gmar din is if, first of all, they testify, then they'll come and ready to give psak halacha. After they give the psak halacha, before they meet out the punishment, all of a sudden these two eidim show up and they machish them. They contradict the first set of eidim. And then, we have another set of eidim coming there, mezim them, or even the same set of eidim, or mezim them. Right? So now, Amar Rav, Minami, Allah, how can I prove that to you? Titania. Meidani, be'ish ploni, shisimet in abdo, be'pilat sheno. So we testified this guy that first of all, he blinded his evet, he knocked out an eye, and then he knocked out a tooth. Right? So when he knocked out an eye, the evet goes free. Evet nani goes free when you knock out one of the evarim. Then he's now going to have to pay him for the shame, because he was already free after the eye, and now he's got to compensate him for the shame. So Rav Omer, okay? Because the master agrees with them. That is an ambiguous statement that we'll have to deal with that. What does it mean that he agrees with him? And then afterwards, these eidim are found to be zomimim. They pay the amount of an eye to the servant. And I says, hey, Chitami, this price makes no sense. It's very difficult to understand. Why? You live because it's tani. Right? If you think, like, just like it's written, so leka katachrina, we're talking about one set of eidim here that come. Mishamim to me, ayin le'evet, badar demafkile le'cherut. Right? Wait a minute. First of all, why are they paying the eved for his eye? They just got this eved free. He was much better off than what? They testify that his eye was knocked out and his tooth was knocked out. Now the eved goes free, plus he gets money for his tooth. And now we're going to say they're found out to be, he's only paying for his eye. What do you mean paying for his eye? They just had him be free. He got a bonus, you know, a big bonus from them getting him free. Forget about paying for his eye. Right? He was on. He said, "What do you got to pay for his eye?" And they got a bunch of bigger package. But oh, that's the bigger problem. Right? Bigger problem is that they freed this Evid from his master, and that was problematic.
He was testifying against the master right. More than he was for.
Right. They caused more problems to the master than they did to the Evid. So why they should compensate the master for trying to free an Evid? I mean, they freed an Evid. Share Rab Omer Kane. What does it mean that the Rab agrees to this? Oh, yeah, sure. Go free. I mean, what do you think? Right, a Rabbi Nikolai. What type of benefit is this to the Rab that his Evid is going free? El alav could go into also beach ray. Now we're talking about two different bits. I'm ready. One day he feels she know, Simai say no. Two people come along, they testify that they knocked out his tooth, and then he blinded his eye. The bite may have lay a rab to may no. Because now the rab has to pay for the eye. I mean, he goes free with the tooth. It's to compensate him for the eye. Ba'atu beach ray mitzah eye. We have a second set of eidim that come along and testify. Imre ain't no. How does she know? Oh, you got the order mixed up. First he knocked the eye out, then the tooth. So now what does he have to pay? He doesn't have to pay, right? He goes free either way. Momonov, so if he's free, the question is what does he have to compensate for? Does he have to compensate for an eye or for a shame? An eye is much more expensive than a shame. So if I didn't play, Elizabeth Shane, no. Because now he has to only pay for the tooth. Right? The Kamakushile Kamai the Mitsai. Right? Because the first and middle idiom here are, right, now Mukhashim, they're contradicting each other.
Why does it use the tziyai?
Because when again, there's going to be another set of eidim coming, that's why. I know, sharei a rab omer kein, and that's what it was. The rab likes this, right? He likes the nikolay, but my dekamrit. He likes the second set of eidim better because then he likes to compensate for a tooth, not for an eye, which is a much cheaper situation. Vigdani, and then v'nimtzu zomimim. Right, that was now they're found to be zomim. That's the third set of eidim. Now you want to know who that last set of eidim is? The two eidim kolam and remezayim mitzi'ai, and they make the middle set of eidim into zomimim. So mishalim dmei ayin le'evet. They have to pay dmei ayin le'evet. Why? Because every goes free mimonoshav according to the two testimonies. Only question was how much the rab had to compensate to the right the evet. Whether he had to pay him for a shein or he had to pay him for an ayin. So now once we had the second eidim came along, they came and they said. Well, Mimar Shah, between the two sets of Adim, both agree that he's kind of at least a shade over here. That's what it sounds like, right?
It does. The only thing that the difference.
I think so also. The Gemara doesn't say that, but I agree with you. I think that's what the Gemara means. Over here, you have to pay the eighth, what the excess would be between the shade and the ninth. Right, so that's they're mukhashin, but the common denominator between the two sets of Adim is that he's at least high for the value of a shein. Right, they both agree at least at that point. Adim now have to compensate for the differential between the shein and the
differential.
Right, I thought it had to be, but it's good. Thank you. Shkayach shmamino, akosha chilat hazamahi. You see what? That akosha chilat hazamahi. Why? Because when they first showed up to Mitzriyai, they were contradicting the first set of Adim. So they're now in an Eidid Mukhashet. If you say that Eidid Mukhashet is not Chilat HaZamah, that means that now these Eidim became irrelevant. If they became irrelevant, then why can you go be Mezim them afterwards? Right? Why should be Mezim them? Chilat HaZamah. So therefore, afterwards, when the third set of Eidim come, in fact, it makes them into Eidim Zomimim, they're still classified as Eidim Zomimim, even though there was an Eidid Mukhashet. They were in a contradictory situation before they went on to become Edim Zomimim. So Rava said, that's proof to my position, that Edim Zomimim, and then in the end, remaining to Mezimim, are considered to be Edim Zomimim. We have this explicitly in the Braisa, after we set the Braisa up properly, that we have this explicitly in this Braisa. Of course, the next line, we're not going to do this because Abai goes halfway through tomorrow's Zomimim, but Abai is going to disagree. Abai is going to disagree and say, no, that Edus the Mukhsheshet is not, the Sobuzmo does not help you, meaning that does not work out, and then you have there two separate issues. One is contradiction in Eidut, and the other one is Hazamah. And they are, if you are a Mukheshet, then you can't be in Nizamu. And this is what Tosus was referring to. Tosus was referring to when he said that according to Abaye, not only do you need it to have to be Bavat Akad, their testimony, but you also have to be Bahuzmu Bavat Akad. They became Eidim Zomimim Bavat Akad, because according to Abaye, if you have any Hakasha or any problem with their Eidut, that automatically eliminates them from becoming Eidim Zomimim. So that was the same. I have a Abaye. Abaye has a position here, and Abaye has a position on the next Amud over here. And yet the Gemara, right, only is answering one part of Abaye here, and then on the second Amud is only going to answer the other half of Abaye. But never puts the two together to say, okay, according to Abaye Shita, you need not only Bavad Akad in their testimony, you also need Bavad Akad in the Hazamah. The Gemara never puts those two pieces together, and on that, that's the sense that the Gemara was dealing with one issue over there, which was the Mafreya. Over here, dealing with Hakosha and versus Hazamah. So in both cases, the answer is what is the question of the Gemara without adjoining the two issues. Okay, we'll stop over here.